My Lord has garments so wondrous fine, and myrrh their texture fills. His fragrance reached to this heart of mine, with joy my being thrills. Out of the ivory palaces into a world of woe, only His great eternal love made my Savior go. His life had also its sorrow sore, for ours had a part. And when I think of the cross He bore, my eyes with teardrops start. Out of the ivory palaces into a world of woe, only His great eternal love made my Savior go. In garments glorious He will come to open wide a door, and I shall enter my heavenly home to dwell forevermore. Out of the ivory palace into a world of woe, only His great eternal love made my Savior go.
Thank you, ladies. Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 21. 1 Chronicles chapter 21. Appreciate you ladies singing. Appreciate the good spirit tonight and your being here on this wonderful night in the Lord's house. 1 Chronicles chapter 21. Let's stand, please, as we read God's word together. We're beginning with verse number 18. 1 Chronicles chapter 21 in verse number 18. Then the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David that David should go up and set up an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And David went up at the saying of Gad, which he spake in the name of the Lord. And Ornan turned back and saw the angel, and his four sons with him hid themselves. Now Ornan was threshing wheat. And as David came to Ornan, Ornan looked and saw David and went out of the threshing floor and bowed himself to David with his face to the ground. Then David said to Ornan, "Grant me the place of this threshing floor that I may build an altar therein unto the Lord. Thou shalt grant it me for the full price, that the plague may be stayed from the people." And Ornan said unto David, "Take it to thee, and let my lord the king do that which is good in his eyes. Lo, I give thee the oxen also for burnt offerings, and the threshing instruments for wood, and the wheat for the meat offering. I give it all." And King David said to Ornan, "Nay, but I will verily buy it for the full price. For I will not take that which is thine for the Lord, nor offer burnt offerings without cost." So David gave to Ornan for the place 600 shekels of gold by weight. And David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings and called upon the Lord, and he answered him from heaven by fire upon the altar of the burnt offering. And the Lord commanded the angel, and he put up his sword again into the sheath thereof. At that time, when David had saw that the Lord had answered him in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite, then he sacrificed there. For the tabernacle of the Lord, which Moses made in the wilderness, and the altar of the burnt offering, were at that season in the high place at Gibeon. But David could not go before it to inquire of God, for he was afraid because of the sword of the angel of the Lord. Thank you, and you may be seated. In the earlier part of this chapter, we learned that David had committed his very first sin as the king. It was a wrong thing for David to do, but David had numbered the people against the council of Gad. And because he numbered the people, in fact, Gad had told David that if you needed more, God would give you more. But David insisted, and he numbered the people, and when he did, he had now sinned against God. God had sent a message to Gad that he would go down and rebuke David for his sin. And he told David, he said, David, you're going to have a choice on the punishment. And he gave him three choices, and David decided that he would rather fall into the hands of God than he would to man, because the first two choices centered around man. The last choice was to fall in the hands of the judgment of God. That's what he chose to do. And David here, the Bible said that certainly when this had taken place, he knew he had done wrong and something had to be done. He had to seek the mercy of God, and he could not bypass the altar. You see, if you're going to get to God, you can't go through any other way but through the altar of sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He's the only way. There is no other way. And many people would like it. They would like to have it some other way, but there is no other way. But I want to preach to you tonight on what I believe is a growing strange phenomenon in the Christian circles of today. I'm going to call it cheap Christianity. We have become accustomed to people who are, though they're saved by grace, and we serve by grace, and certainly all of us admit we live by grace. But we become accustomed to the fact that since it's all by grace, we think that there's no price. That there's nothing that we have to do to enjoy the blessings of God. We kind of accustom ourselves to that. We believe that, but the church is supposed to be free. Everything is free. We give everything away. That God's supposed to give us all the blessings we want at our request. And that everything that we can enjoy in this life, because we're Christians, we're supposed to get it for free. That somehow or another that we have forgotten that there is a price that has to be paid. We've forgotten that. I want to remind you that the Bible you hold in your hand tonight was paid by those who have bled so that you can have a Bible. I want to remind you tonight that the church that you worship in was paid by someone who was willing to knock some doors and make some sacrifices and be willing to give up some vacations, to give their money to build buildings and provide for the needs of a ministry, that down the road one day that there could be a church in 2011. A price was paid. I remind you that there was a man by the name of the Apostle Paul who paid the price. Literally giving his life and giving up the Word of God and preaching the Word of God. And if I'm not mistaken, if I study this out, and I have studied a little bit, but I haven't gone as extensive as maybe some of you, but
I believe that because of Paul's ministry and his reaching over into Europe and places like that, during that time, because of that, that America and those of us who were saved are probably the fruit of Paul's ministry. The reason why is because he was willing to pay the price. They didn't believe in cheap Christianity. And I want us to understand tonight, it's not about money. Though in this passage, we certainly understand something about that. You see, we are so physical in our understanding, but we so lack our understanding of the spiritual. The focus in this passage is that David wants to honor God. He failed. He failed to honor God in his life, and he knew that something had to be done. He had to plead the mercy of God. He had to plead the grace of God. He had to plead the forgiveness of God. Because there is a problem now because of David's sin. There's a problem in the country. There's a problem in the nation because of David's sin. And 70,000 men have already died because David sinned. I want you to consider with me carefully tonight three clear values that we learn through this illustration or this story in David's life. There are three values. If we talk about cheap Christianity, we talk about trying to have a Christian life that costs nothing, we do not understand really what it is. Can I tell you this tonight? Your salvation wasn't free. It was to you, but Jesus paid it all for me. Without the price that he paid, we have no salvation. The first value I notice in this passage is there is a cause. There is a cause. There's a huge reason for serving and walking with God. If I'm to honor God in my life, if I'm to please God in my life, I must realize that there is a huge cause. You see, the truth of the matter is, letter A, there's a plague. There's a plague going on in our world today. And David was dealing with that plague there in the nation of Israel. And the plague was a punishment for sin. Can I remind you tonight that there's still sin in our world? And there's a punishment for sin. And David is saying to us that we realize that the reason why that the price had to be paid, that why something had to be done, why he had to get to the altar of sacrifice, why he had to be willing to give it all and be willing to give it up and willing to pay the price is because the cause is so great. 70,000 men have already died, and how many more is going to die? I wonder how many people have died without Christ since the beginning of time. I'm not sure, but I think I read somewhere recently that close to 55 billion people believed to have been on this planet and have now died. 55 billion. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know how accurate that is or who came up with that, but I was reading that's the estimated value, that between 50 and 55 billion people have died. That's a huge number. How many of those knew Christ? You see, there's a plague going on. It's the plague of sin. And it's the punishment. And God says that sin's going to be punished. God sends a punishment. And in this passage, God has sent a punishment to the nation because of one man's disobedience. David's disobedience. God reminds all of us that we are plagued with the penalty of sin, and we cannot get by it without a payment. The Bible makes it very clear in Ezekiel chapter 18, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. There's no doubt about it that people around us, that they're going to die because they have the plague of sin just like we do. And that is the reason that we have a Christmas musical. That's the reason we do door knock. That's the reason why we do put tracts on doors. That's the reason why we do invite our family members to church. That's the reason why we do teach the Word of God. That's why we do preach the gospel Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, because there's a plague going on in our world. And the cause is great. And I don't know about you, but I'm concerned about the cause. I wish there was a way that I could go to the hospitals and walk up and down and I could just kind of just give a pill to every person in the hospital and they could just get up and walk out. Doctors wouldn't appreciate that. They have Mercedes-Benz payments. But the patient would appreciate that, wouldn't they? But I'm going to tell you something. We got something better than that. What we have is we have the Jesus Christ, the answer to the world, that they have a plague and they're going to die because of that. And the only way they can get over that is through the grace of Jesus Christ. Amen. David said, man, I messed up. My sin has caused 70,000 men already to die. Can you imagine having 70,000 men on your conscience that has died because you messed up and didn't listen to God? David said there's a cause. In fact, I don't think that's the first time he's ever said that. He knew that. He knew the cause was great. But there was a promise in the Bible says that God guarantees that there will be a judgment for any man without Jesus Christ. He that believeth on the Son, the Bible says, hath everlasting life. But he that believeth not shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. There's a promise in the Scripture, but there's also an altar in the Scripture. That altar is to remind us of the fact there's a sacrifice that is necessary because there are men dying without Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I'm certainly glad that someone was willing to pay the price and knock some doors and build this church so that we can have a place to come to. How about you? Are you glad tonight? I don't know how many of you have been saved through this ministry. You know, we try to keep records and keep people's names and everything because, you know, we're concerned. But we don't know. I thank God for the bus ministry and all those that got saved through the bus ministry and parents and families and all of that. We don't know how many have been saved all those years. But I can tell you this. Thank God that somebody was willing to knock on a door. Somebody was willing to put something in the offering plate. Someone was willing to do that. It cost something. It's not money, it costs energy and time and resources and people who care and people who pray and people who want to do what God wants them to do. Look, we have too much cheap Christianity. Why don't we decide that we're going to do something for God because there is a cause? You see, there's a cause, but secondly, there's a cost. I am amazed at what David says. David shows up. Ornan sees the king, and what's the first thing he does? He falls prostrate. This is the king. I mean, this king could take his land at any moment. Eminent domain, they don't need that. They don't need a judge to tell him. He just could take it. He shows up on the scene. Ornan says, take it all. Did you see that? Let me tell you something. Ornan knew the cause was great too, didn't he? He said there's nothing too great for the cause. There's nothing that's too important that I can't give up. If I can help men to live another day, if I can help men to be saved, if I can help men to do something for God, there's nothing I need that's more important that I can't give up so that somebody else can get saved. And David comes to this farmer who has, from what I can read in the scriptures, I don't think he has a lot. He's threshing. His threshing floor is inside a little barn. And because the farmers who had huge threshing floors were out in big fields, but those who had small threshing floors in a small barn, they would kind of go inside and they would do their work in. And the Bible said that Ornan came out to greet David. I don't know what it is about Ornan, but one thing we know is sure, that God had his hand on Ornan, because God looked down and said, Ornan, you give this to David. And David shows up on the scene. And David said this, hey, can we make a bargain right now? David says, I'm going to pay the full price. There's nothing too cheap for God. I'm not about to cut the cost. I'm not about to try to cheat God. I'm not about to cheat the sacrifice. He says, I'm going to pay the full price. In fact, I'm not giving anything to God that doth not cost me anything. You see, there's a cost. What is he talking about? Well, there's a cost of possessions. Ornan gives everything. You know, I don't think anything we have is too important we can't give it to God. What if God were to take our car? Is it God's anyway? And there's nothing that we have that God can't have. He knew the gravity of the cause. He knew what it was. And he says, I'm going to give it everything to God. Let me ask you a question. What are you offering to God? I wonder how many of us have kind of tried to do a sort of a negotiatory transaction with God to give a cheap sacrifice to Him. See, we're used to cheap Christianity. That's what we expect. That's what we expect. That's what we want. We don't want it to cost us anything. We don't want to have to, God forbid, we'd have to get up at 4:30 and come down and pray with the men at 5 o'clock. That's too big of a cost. My sleep is more important. See, the point of the matter is that when we think about what God is saying in this passage, He wants us to understand there is nothing that's more important than Him. How many people have said, you know, I mean, I've had people, I come through and I've knocked doors and invite people to church, and they said, well, you know, I just want you to know between September and December is football on Sunday mornings. I'm not coming to church then. And then when the springtime comes, it's race car on Sunday, it's NASCAR. Okay, NASCAR, cars racing, men dying and going to hell. Which do I choose? Millionaires playing a game or men dying and going to hell, which should I choose? What is more important in the cost? I mean, honestly, what David is saying is, you know what? We should be willing to give it all to Him. I know this is sort of a continuation of this morning. But he says the cost of our possessions and the cost of our time is another cost that we might give to God. What are we giving to God? Are we giving God the leftovers? For some, it's only 11 to 12 on Sunday morning at best. What about the cost of finances? The Bible said that Ornan gave everything to David. But David said, honestly, I don't want anything for free. It's a sacrifice. And I'm going to tell you something. There is no such thing as a sacrifice that's free. You can't sacrifice without paying a price. Honestly, I don't think we know much about that in this country. My wife and I traveled to the Philippines. We loved being in the Philippines. It was a great, great, it was unbelievable. We traveled around in different places and preached at
Imes Brothers Church in Cavite. Where's Imey, by the way? You better be in church. You better be. I'm calling him tomorrow. I'm telling him now. Well, I preached in Imey's Brothers Church. I remember it was during a July 4th celebration in America. They were having their July 4th financial campaign. That's what they were running. And I was preaching, and I just was preaching away, and just preaching about loving God and serving God, and so on and so forth. And afterwards, the people were coming up to me, and they were talking to me a little bit. And I had, being kind of new there, I had no idea all about the life over there. And one of the, the people come up to me, and some of them wanted to come back to America with me. A couple people asked me, can we go back with you, And I remember that while I was there, I learned that the average person in the Philippines, and it may have changed since then, that was several years ago, was $4 a day. That's how much they earned a day. $4. That's it. They lived on $4 a day. Which probably meant that they didn't eat real good on $4 a day, although their food was healthy, but they didn't eat as good as what we would have eaten. And a couple of people are talking to me about how that they had their missions conference and they were raising money to send missionaries to other places in the Philippines. And I was thinking, now wait a minute, they try to live on $4 a day. That means they try to pay for their bills and food and insurance and everything else, or whatever it is that they, however they live there, live on $4 a day. They don't have much. And several of them were talking about, how they had given their faith promise mission commitment. And I'm thinking, how do you do that? And I remember some of the people were talking about, we give our faith promise commitment and we're so excited about what God's going to do. We're going to send some missionaries over this part of our country and this place. And I said, how are you doing that? I said, it's simple. We decided that this this year, on Tuesday and Thursday, we're skipping eating altogether so we can send our mission money. And it broke my heart. They're not eating on Tuesday and Thursday of that year to send money to missions. And I thought, I know nothing of sacrifice. Imagine that. You see, we want cheap Christianity. We don't want to do that. We're not willing to make that sacrifice. It's not what we're looking for. I know you came back tonight, you think, wow, two barrels today. But let me tell you something. This is serious business. David said, wait, look, I'm not going to give something to God. I'm not sacrificing without paying the price. Because can I tell you this tonight? Jesus Christ did not give a cheap sacrifice when he died on the cross. He gave it all. He surrendered his life. He gave himself for all. He gave everything he had so that you and I can be saved. Remind you tonight, no doubt about it, there is no sacrifice without a cost. First value, David teaches us that there is a cause. Our world out here, they're dying and going to hell. They just don't know it. They don't realize it. How many of them are trying to get ahead and get ahead of the almighty dollar, get the better car, get the nicer home, take care of this, have a big bank account, live on a beach somewhere when they retire, all of that. They're trying to get all of that, thinking that's going to bring joy. You and I know where joy is. Joy is in knowing Jesus Christ. There's a cost. Second of all, there's a cost. And Jesus showed us what the cost is. And David is showing us that I'm not going to give anything to God. I'm not going to let my spiritual life be something cheapened by trying to negotiate with God to get by with as little as I have to do for Him.
I want to give it all to Him. And if God calls me to suffer, then praise God, that's what I'll do.
But then there's third. The third value I find in here, there is a commission. The commission is simple. The commission is that we go out to the world. 70,000 men have died, and already more were on the way to die. The plague was spreading like wildfire. It's everywhere, and people were ready to die. And David said, man, I got to go out and do something about this. And we find that David prepared himself, and we find the preparation of God's people in verse 28. David knew before others could be cared for, he needed to make right with God what it is in his own life. You realize that the world needs Jesus, but I'm going to tell you that we need to be right with Jesus ourselves. You see, our spiritual growth campaign is intended to help us to do that. Man, we just want to get on fire for God. I really would like for us, when we come in on January, what's the first Sunday in January? January 8th. I think when we... January 8th when we come in. Yeah, the first is the Sunday, the week after we get started will be January 8th. When we come into this place, it should be electrified. Because we just spend the whole week in our spiritual growth campaign. We're walking with God. We're reading our Bible. We're praying. We're doing we're in this journey together, and we're just excited about Jesus. That's the intention. You see, it was a preparation of God's people. See, if the world's going to be changed from a godless world to a godly world, they need to see a change in us. But unfortunately, they see cheap Christianity. Second of all, there's a payment for man's sin, and we know that was Jesus Christ. And I marvel at this verse in 1 Peter 1 where it says this, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You know what happened? Jesus paid the price. Jesus' blood was shed that man might be saved. It was the blood, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And then thirdly is the presentation of God's Word. As we live godly lives, we're going to present to the world who Jesus Christ is through us. And just as Jesus was the written Word and the living Word, we, in a sense, are living what Christ did if we're walking in His footsteps. Some have said, you are the only Bible that some people ever read. What are they reading today? It's a strange thing to me. You realize that NBA basketball is non-existent right now. But as I was studying it, I learned a few weeks ago, it's a $2 billion industry. $2 billion. I'm sorry, but I got to think about this. I said, who really cares? Why don't we take the $2 billion and give it to missionaries around the world? Wouldn't that be a higher value? I mean, you know, we look at these opulent millionaires that, you know, it's awful, man. They're losing $20 million this year. I don't even know. I bet half the churches from Mississippi all the way out west, I don't even know if all of them will ever see $20 million. One man gets that amount of money. I don't know about you, but I think it's just absolutely ludicrous. It's embarrassing to even mention those kind of things. I've heard some people say, yeah, it's really a shame that season hadn't started. Some are rather upset, saying, you know, but wonder how many people be upset about people dying without Christ. Yeah, it's a strange thing. Have you ever noticed this with church buildings? Several years ago, when they built the AT&T I still want to call Pac Bell Park, whatever that place is down there, just over the Bay Bridge. It's $440 billion to build that stadium then. Or million. Was it million? Yeah, million. I said billion, million. That's still a lot of money. And I remember reading that, and we were in the middle of our building campaign and building this building, actually, when they were building that building, or that ball stadium. And everybody would say, man, it's going to be great. What a great thing. And then I wonder, and people look at a church building and think, that's a waste of money. We're building a church building. Where's the value in that? What? Yeah, it's strange how the world values those kind of things, but yet when we want to do something for God, people don't understand. Don't be surprised by that. Any sacrifice you make will be misunderstood by the world anyway. You remember when Mary anointed Jesus' feet when she broke the alabaster box? Even those who were supposed to be God's people were condemning her, saying, what a waste. I'm going to tell you this tonight, whenever you decide, if you decide that you're going to pay the price, that you say, you know, there's nothing that I want that's cheap for God. I want to give God my time. I don't want to give him the leftovers. I want to give him my best. Whenever we decide that we're not going to live a cheap life and we want to serve God, I will tell you this, there'll be those who will not understand, but God will be pleased. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall lose his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. I close with this. When I was in college, we had this one guy he was a big guy, strong guy. Muscular guy. It was in my prayer group. We had three rooms. We'd come together at 10:30 every night. We'd pray together, share prayer requests, have a devotion before we went to bed. 15 minutes. I remember going into the room with this guy the very first time I met him as a freshman. He had a muscle shirt on, but he was the only guy I've ever seen fill out a muscle shirt like it's supposed to. Now, I've seen a lot of guys try to, and it was hilarious. I never tried, but he filled one out. He was a muscular guy. And I remember talking to him one day, and we got to, you know, out in the hallway, and it seems like in college life you're so busy running here and there, running there, but you know, you do have some break time. We were talking, and I asked him, I said, hey, you know, I noticed that, you know, you're pretty strong, you work out and things like that, you know, and he said, yeah, I do. In fact, he says, I'm training for the Olympics. So I've been training for 4 years for the Olympics. Well, I got kind of interested in that. He wanted to be a wrestler in the Olympics, so I said, tell me about what does that involve? He said, oh, you don't know. I said, what do you mean? He said, you don't know. I said, tell me. The point is, he said, you know, I've never had a hamburger in 4 years. I said, oh, I'm so sorry. He said, I haven't had a soda in 4 years. He said, I've never had a day off in 4 years. He said, I've never done anything but train for 4 years. And he said, you know, I'm here because God saved me. And he said, you know, I did that for 4 years and I didn't make the team. And he said, I eat, lived, and breathed the Olympics for 4 years. And I'm going to try it again. And I thought to myself, maybe I've got this wrong, but you mean to tell me that you did all of those things for 4 years just so you can have whatever that short amount of time for a wrestling match just to have a gold medal? Yes. And I thought, I wish we had that kind of dedication in Christians for the souls of men. To serve God. David says, I will not give anything that costs me nothing. I want to pay the full price. We want cheap Christianity. God says, no, there's nothing cheap. Pay the full price. Are you willing to pay it? Let's pray.